Interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM455. That's all the episode numbers for the broadcast, the podcast, the past casts. However you're going to find this thing in the future, given that they still survive. Remember the mandala effect? I think this, we didn't know it was like that. Well, it wasn't. It's, the internet's changeable. So we're coming to the head of this thing, aren't we? More confrontations as a set up to do division amongst us. You have to have your own words in your mouth, but you're going to be able to. I've been trying to show you how to go to the code, go to the law, go to the objective basis that can't be really. Well, only criminals can, and insane people can fight it. But the black and white, it sits there before all of us, so it can't be used, can't be said to have been a fact check wrong, because it can be read. Black and white, the law speaks for itself. You don't need an opinion, it speaks for itself. So there's not a need for a judiciary as well. And you start understanding some of these things I've been saying to you, you start to understand that the system is not there. You don't have to rely on the system to tell you anything. And in fact, it's all always been in you to do what you needed to do. When the official started to say that there was something wrong with you, and you know it's not, it means they're the most to be the criminal. And so I've been trying year after year after year to explain how you can objectively identify that. Not just claim them to be. You have to set the parameter, their duty, their obligation, the trespass, whatever it is. You lay it out objectively, and then you give them a chance to back off, and when they don't, they've now run into fault. And no, I'm not really addressing the commercial code, but it's a similar, very similar process. So you give yourself a basis and a record to for your actions. You just don't, you can't be shown to be working just willy-nilly, if you will, just outside of all thought and reason. You've established the reason objectively. And so this is what you set up in your mind on how this works, but you know, most people will reduce themselves to just having to get involved with people. I told you this is going to come to a time you're just going to have to learn to, no matter how you feel inside about your violation and someone's violating you, walk away. What's coming down and what looks like it's coming down, certainly, you can't go 100% in all this. Everyone's going to react different. We've got some people that are being affected in very fundamental ways. This is, I explained, the manufacturers. Tests and studies were telling us what's going to happen to anybody that took this chemical weapon. And if I get to the end of the broadcast this week, an emailer sent me an email. Someone else has come on with her own findings, and it's finding that it looks very much like a venom, as I've been saying. And so I'll let you have that link when I get down there. But we're going to have defenses for yourself. And I'm just this week, and just kind of thinking through, it popped in my mind. I guess we just, when they finally kind of get you wrapped up in their net, I guess you can just start yelling at them like they did in the movie. And say, you keep your mask off me, you damn dirty ape. You keep your jab off me, you damn dirty ape. You keep your mandate off me, you damn dirty ape. And get the fraud-she behind me, you damn dirty ape. You're going to have to be able to understand what I was just saying, but related to the communicable disease code and how there is no authority for anybody else to just claim that you need to do anything, not even a health official. Because if when you know the minimally five, I think it's about five steps generally, when you know what those steps are and you know that there's no evidence for them, that's what you press forward. And you press anybody that challenges you to produce it. You know it doesn't work. I've asked you before to write letters to try and make sure to get the officials to determine and produce evidence of that first medical report for you. Because everything devolves from that. And almost across, well, and like I said, wherever there's rule of law and democracy. As we move into this weird escape, hopefully we'll escape. Remember, the Matrix is not a movie. And we're all just astronauts here. The jabbed monkeys are insane. So take real cognizance of this. This is not something you're going to argue with. In fact, a couple down broadcast today, we're going to have the fact that people are starting to, more people are identifying. What's going on with people is to reduce you down into your animal, into an animal nature, as they might say. And it ends up just being fight or flight with these people. And so I told you, it'd be better that you just walk away and you don't get them into this, and you don't make this become a baboon. Because they will. And you're not going to discuss it with them. So take your awareness, take your good reasons, your critical thinking, and move it away. Put some distance between you and them. Giving you beyond 6 foot. I told you this was going to happen to you. You're going to have to listen to all these things you were told that were wrong about the transmission of a infectious agent. You're going to have to apply them for your self-defense. Keep your distance. Mask yourself off. You're going to have to be careful who you're dealing with. When you run into a society that was able to be essentially hypnotized, and then they fell into the psychosis of the problem, and no one said anything, you are looking at a very serious and dangerous state. So it's not to be fearful, it's to be aware. It's to be looking farther forward in your travels, to watch the travails, and to be able to try and avoid them. And no guarantees, but you that way, you're going to do your best to just avoid, just walk aside it. There's no sense in getting involved where there's no real remedy, which ends up being my problem because you find out the government is your problem and you can't get away from it. So, and that's coming on to us here at the, when I was keeping telling you, making this petition for a complaint that's really close to being done now. And the pressure's coming on. I'm not sure if they're going to go rogue yet on me, but it sure looks like they might want to. So all the bets are off as to what happens there. But the astronauts that we be here relative to the Planet of the Apes that's developing reminded me to be interested again where we can look into space, and an interesting story pops up. And I didn't really take much heed to it because of the sensationalism and the news headlines, but apparently the mystery on the moon's dark side has been solved. I didn't really know there was a problem. I thought Pink Floyd had figured all that out for us years and years ago. But apparently there was a remaining mystery, and it had to do with a Chinese rover had seen an oddly shaped object on the far side of the moon. And it's another comic strip. Well, there's another subliminal story going on here, but they saw this thing that was described by people online as a mystery hut online, a building, a square building. And I looked at the picture, and my question about the picture was, being a photographer for a long time and also a bit of understanding digital and understanding resolution, it looked to me that the Chinese didn't send their best camera up. And my problem with the image I saw that was supposedly highlighted far off and supposed to be very, very big and tall was that we were looking, to me, I was looking at a pixelated object. In other words, there was only 2 pixels delineating, resolving what we were looking at whatever distance it was. And when there's no atmosphere, it's hard to tell distance anyway. So I wasn't too intrigued. They said that the Chinese rover, and this is really kind of the amazing part, you got a robot going some distance over the cratered surface of the moon, they tell us. That's really interesting to me, that they did the traverse across to this crater where this hut was, and they found out when they run up on it that it was a rock. It was a rock about the size of a loaf of bread, I suppose. We don't have a real big thing, but interesting. When they look at the picture and you look back at the original picture and at the squareness of it, and you see the two, if you see the pixelation, you see the left side a little bit brighter. The right side was not as bright. When you get up to the rock, the right side that was not as bright is more on a shadow, has a shadow to it. So pixelated, you're only going to get 2 pieces of information that are give you depicting that object, and it's going to be an average of the light that hit those pixels. So even though it's kind of neat and cool, the rover found that there's a rock on the moon. There was some pretty interesting picture stuff around that, though, which is still pretty amazing. So I guess the mystery is solved. There's just rock. What I found interesting is people were taking this rock and they were drawing alien faces. If you look at it, you look at the rock, you can see an alien face. If you see the left-hand spot, the ellipse is an eye. You see the V at the bottom, a mouth. And then you see the ear behind the eye. And you see the back of the head, And so, and someone said it looked like two bunnies. So, having fun. But this is the thing about our minds and our imagination. So while I think that if it's real, the whole thing that it's actually happening is fascinating. And to take a robot and move it across the surface of a different planet is pretty neat. What the Planet of the Apes sees in that was a whole lot of different stuff. So we, again, understand that our perceptions are faulty. Be careful. Like, as I say that, my mind just keeps going back to flying instrument rating and learning how to fly instrument rating in planes. You can't trust your senses. This, when you realize that, it really opens a bit of your eyes as to how you can be misdirected by your senses. And we don't have, if you will, if I can just do this analogy, if we don't have instruments, some objective basis that we can trust, we think we can trust, or have been trustable, we will lose our bearings very quickly. And our wheels too, I suppose. The point being, get back to the black and white, the objective basis, you find that communicable disease code. It is your instruments of objectivity that you can rely on when you're in the storm of the insanity. And you don't do it to attack people. You do it in particular to challenge their authority so you can get away, actually, while this thing is working its way through. And I just can't see how everyone's going to respond the same, so there's going to be it's going to be harder to see because the continuum of responses that people will have to whatever's going on immunologically is going to be it is going to be different. We're watching the potentials across the board. Anyway, so interesting mystery hut is resolved to be a big rock on the side of a crater, which is kind of interesting because right next to the big crater, there was a little crater, which looked like it had brand new damage, wondering what that was all about. But moving on to the Planet of the Apes, we have unrest and uprising. And I've been watching, I'm a little bit concerned with the Donbas Ukraine problem, have been for quite a many years. Fomenting of war that goes on, I don't really agree with all that at all. I take a little bit of heed that we don't want to get into foreign entanglements, and yet it seems like the United States government, that's all it wants to do. Most of the people that I talk with, they have no sense of wanting to make war with anybody, so this is not the people. And this is where they take these people in government, take advantage. We don't stop them. Because we have the ultimate right to abolish and alter the government when maladministration is apparent. And when we don't, they take the license that our silence allows them to continue. And this is just a continuum of proof and truth around every aspect of everything we might look out and see as a problem. But here, President, in another area, in the same thing, this turns out apparently more, and we've heard him before, we see the government of the United States doing it all the time. This is looking more like what was happening in Kazakhstan and the uprising that was going on there. It was triggered by an increase in the fuel prices over there. And this is how stupid the government was. They did it right during winter when the people are going to need that heat. And they did it, didn't do it, and raised prices over a summertime where they were probably not going to need them as much. So this is an interesting government self-inflicted wound. But there was an uprising that went on, which rightfully, I guess you could say so, for the type of price raising, but this is the global, if you will, the imposition of austerity. And prices of things are going up everywhere. It's not just in the United States. And the government comes out and raises the petroleum prices and people go nuts. But there's an underlying theme that was popping through this, and we can kind of see insights for us on how things change in a society pretty quickly, and what might also be going on, maybe not so obvious. The president appeals, the president appeals to protesters amid mass unrest in Kazakhstan because of the protesters that came out in mass to protest this gas hike. And like 25% or 30%, it's consistent across, like I was talking with the Dollar Tree, it's consistent with those findings. The numbers are consistent. I don't know how they can be so consistent around the globe unless there's a puppet master pulling all the same strings and driving the whole world into the next pressure, which people don't respond to so well. And they won't be able to because they're going to be a bunch of insane apes waiting to be flight or fight responsive And there's that's it. It's going to be on or off. That's all there's going to be between the two times. But we watch as this moving into the new world and the new world control of e-governments and e-regulation and your phones and how they get you into like social credit. We see immediately, and I didn't really realize that Kazakhstan is a hub for Bitcoin mining, which I, again, it just opens up all the questions I have about these things. But when the people rose up in protest and they started to shut down the country, Bitcoin dives after Kazakhstan kills the internet, because that was the government's response. In other words, anticipating what happened like in Hong Kong, you try to kill the communication. The lines of communication are important here, and this is what you see the first thing the government did. But they kill the lines of communication. The former Soviet Republic, the world's second largest mining hub, is facing major internet disruptions amid nationwide anti-government protests. Now, we started at Bitcoin, but let's add that if the internet goes down and your life is going through your phone, everything you do in your life has to go through a QR code or something. It just took away your life because some people protested. And the government did exactly the wrong thing. They started the self-inflicted wound and then they responded in the wrong way as well. And so these are tabs here that I'm communicating to you are looking at a future of control that is well outside of anything that you'll be able to keep up with. And if you relinquish your private hand substance exchanging, your private agreements to do things locally and to create sub-economies, if you will, to survive, you're going to be subject to the very next emergency. It's going to move quickly here, I suppose, from so-called pandemic, endless disease, and then climate change, and then on and on. It keeps moving. Again, this is an energy which would have been a direct violation to the climate change issue, but no question about the Bitcoin. I guess they can just run all the electricity, waste all the electricity, if you will, to make vaporware, vapor money, vapor whatever, and under control that they got shut down. As soon as they shut down the internet, these miners, these Bitcoin miners got shut down and the price of Bitcoin dropped immediately. And so nothing is free and safe from an interference with a government response. And they usually work on how people respond, and they've anticipated how that would work in order to continually drive the control systems and the view of cost of living up and the benefits down and continue to make, enslave the people over time. I just watched this problem being very interesting. They talked earlier here that this was a former Soviet Republic, but it is integral with the protection of the Russians as well. And so we have here what now turns out to be, apparently, and I'm talking about this because this is whatever happens outside the country is happening inside the country as well. And we have the United States that we're told don't get in foreign entanglements out there poking the bear through a spring, if you will, this rebellion that is fomented from foreign sources to disrupt that country is really poking the bear. It has nothing to do with the Bitcoin or anything like that in this regard. This is a different level of geopolitics and control. But there's a writing, and I wondered about this, but I don't have the time to look at all this. The Moon of Alabama, it's really just a hypothesis statement, but he pulls together a lot of the points that you can come to the idea the United States, or through Britain, and through Turkey, all NATO, is over there doing, Kazakhstan Springs, raising protests, causing dissemination to foment a rebellion, which the president comes out to say, and I think this is where the Russians came in to give aid. The Kazakhstan president, because of these protests, authorizes the use of lethal force against protesters without warning. So this was looked at as a terrorist threat. This didn't happen, though, until Russia came and brought some help. And the Russians are protecting their border and to keep NATO from doing this insurrection spring thing. And what happens inside the government of Kazakhstan is there's a turnover of power. It almost looks a bit like a coup, but it can't be known which direction it went. I'm not versed in all that, but you can read the points through the tabs I give you. And you can see, if you just look at that as an object lesson of how governments use agencies to come in and foment disruption, and what they target and how they target it, we can get an idea, as applied to what I can see, it's not a lot different than what they're doing to us in different forms relative to all these other things we're now quite insanely suffering for no real reason. And like I've said, if you get to the objective basis, there is no reason, but there's also no lawful right and no lawful authority, no lawful warrant for what we're watching. And yet all the institutions of government have failed to maintain, if you will, that republic relative to the bodies of laws that are available to us. And then the people have been silent on mostly, almost 99.999% fine, which is not so fine, silent on keeping check of all this. But so the government comes right out, imposes gas increases right at the time in the winter when people are going to need the heat. The people revolt. They are fomented by outside foreign forces. It's said by the Muno of Alabama interpretation that it was done possibly by MI6, handing it over to Turkey to cause this destabilization. And you see that it has a rippling effect, in this case the Bitcoin, which is also a controlled thing, but that the government comes right out and doesn't, in a way, doesn't care just to come out and kill you. Why I've been saying be careful to think you can do protesting. I've never thought that those would really work. In my history and looking in the past, that never, well, they cause some changing, they cause some stuff, they get a mindset in the people, but they never really did much more than to show they were there and then disappeared. And now we see them as the baby boomers who are being taken down and taken out by the same system that they were supposed to be railing against, that they just stopped. And that's what the system waits for, that you just stop your complaint. And if those weren't fomented as well, in other words, they just keep leading the society by the nose and the society willingly goes. And so the government of Kazakhstan comes right out and says, we're going to just use lethal force against you. And I don't know about all that law. I just knew knowing in the United States and where we are with supposedly due process and the constitutional right of remedy for relief is where our protections are. The tools are there so that we see what they're doing elsewhere, not to do that, so that we don't give and power the government even more, because they're waiting for that to do. They're waiting to instigate your emotion instead of a correct response. And then when they do that, they're also left to continue to try and press, and they are never pressed for how wrong they are by an objective basis, not just by some opinion. And so we see that example this week, and the French president views unvaxxed as not French, vows to piss them off. So this is not a leader of a unifying leader at all. And this is, we know, if you look at the communicable disease laws, this isn't based in anything lawful. There is no, none, they have not, he has not demonstrated, just like no other leader has, or no other politician or whatever, the non-fraudulent exigency for what he's talking about. But he comes out to blame a mass of people to get the rest to agree, like they did in Nazi Germany, to move in mass against people that are critical thinkers. They haven't taken the juice or whatever. They kept themselves fairly healthy. But see, you're dealing with this Macron. He's likely had the jab. As I put down just today, somehow the term, the tag booster zombie came to mind. And we're going to talk about something else in the United States that looks like it's affecting. These people who have jabs, they are subject to whatever that jab is doing to them. And I told you this before, we're going to have to watch out. These people in seats of decision are maybe going to be the worst problem. And so I hope people in France are kind of paying attention to this, that if they were to go down the way I'm suggesting, whatever French law says about their communicable disease, it'll likely be very similar to whatever it is everywhere else, that they can press against this guy, his lack of jurisdiction and authority to even have the opinion, and then force the fact of that upon him, demand of him the non-fraudulent agency to have him have an opinion and to ostracize the people of the country on its baseless opinion, to get not a protest group up, but to have everybody be fortified in the objective basis that they can rest on, and it's the obligation of the decider to show they've come in compliance. And based in that, then you start showing other people that may be available to listen. Remember, in Italy, even the vaccination, early on, the vaccinated people were protesting against the government forcing unvaccinated people. They were burning their COVID cards, remember? So you've got those groups of people that are available even in this situation. But again, the governments respond wrongly. He divides the country to go after an agenda. I don't know how many people they're resisting, but they're enough. And what he wants to do is get you emotional. Now you show that too is the wrong way to respond. And you come back without emotion. You come back with the objective basis. You come back with the objective burdens and duties that he has, and he's failed. And so now he didn't get what he wanted, and he's brought himself underneath scrutiny for the people that are still able to consider this. And I guess I'm just going through this. I see around the world the same, what I've been telling you, can respond to this thing and to start to get it pushed back. And the more, it won't take everybody to do that. It just takes the willful small minority to persist and continue moving it forward. And don't get opinionated. Just use the black and white that's already there to stop the penalization of the healthy, essentially. You know, I've been seeing lots of people saying something about that this is the first time in history that the failure of a medicine was blamed on those that never took it. That's insanity, right? This is what I was telling you. But this has been planned insanity, and you see a lot of people that agree with it. So this is another problem. So those people you can't really do much about. You're going to have to show your example. You're going to do the objective basis for that and hope those that have been involved and got enticed are still capable to come back out by the example you've given. Well, because the governments are going to penalize the healthy, as I've been saying that they would. And we see that now in Kyrgyzstan. And maybe this one, I know some of the listeners around may not like when I say this, but I've never found it to be I'm not saying it has no benefit, but I've never found it to have such a great benefit as it's being needful. But in Kyrgyzstan now, if you're unvaccinated, you'd be banned from booze and marijuana. And again, it's going to be penalizing what they think you want. This is austerity. Now, for me, I don't have a need for medical marijuana, so at least at any now. So to me, that's been one of those things I wasn't ever interested in. Since the last few years, I've seen what it can do, how it was vilified, what it could do. Not the propaganda stuff, I'm talking about herbally. And so that's really a big demarcation for me. Anybody else, like with this, what the CBD, we talked all about this before. For me, if I was looking at this, not the marijuana was so much. Maybe that's a good thing not to have in your life. I've seen it cause, it's not harmful necessarily, but it doesn't help in people's lives either. If you're focused on going in doing certain things. But I guess everyone has their own thing. That was my observation. But the so-called booze, which is what this article is calling it, is alcohol. Ethyl alcohol. That, to me, because of the herbal connection, would be a place I think I would jump in on this Quebec's prime minister, based on the lack of the compliance with the duties and obligation, to deprive you the alcohol you would use to make alternative remedies, natural remedies. And his causing the problem for you without demonstrating the non-fraudulent exigency. As one thought of approach, when I see these news articles, they're noticed to me that there's likely an opportunity to address for someone who is into them. For me, you find the correct use, the not unlawful and beneficial use, and you target that for your cause if you're so wired, an herbalist or somebody like that uses alcohol is now being denied to be able to self-treat. If in Kyrgyzstan you have the right of self-treatment or the right self-care or the self-determination or the right of freedom of from restraint to do your what you will, that's not otherwise, that hasn't been declared unlawful apparently how this works, but all that can build into a statement, in particular here in Quebec. And then you talk about Montreal, I can go read it, but you can get the you can get all this. Talk about proof of vaccination is already required in Quebec, so they got them all locked down. But they're stopping people with the health from being healthy to get, in my mind, and alcohol is not the only way to make a tincture. There's other, or a, you know, you got decoctions, you have different forms, but they are chemical chemical extraction processes that have particular uses, and alcohol is a one thing you actually need that other uses, other extraction solvents won't do certain constituents. And so, for I just look at this news and it's okay, the healthy are now being kept from marijuana, which if they need, are unhealthy and they need marijuana, that's an argument. They're causing harm. They're not supposed to cause a harm. They're supposed to prevent a disease, not cause more. And so you start playing the statute code standards against these guys. But you have to do that. You have to know them, be versed in them to be able to do it. The booze, alcohol, when I looked at that, I go, well, that takes out everybody who wants to do herbalism and things like that, particular parts of it. And so that, you go look in your, what they weren't, what the government was not supposed to tread on you. You find where they haven't produced a non-fraudulent agency to have the authority over you that was supposed to be case by case to you. And then you show that these mitigation measures are actually causing harm. And you move yourself that way. But you don't do it on opinions because you hear it behind the woodshed. You've gone into your statutes. And I have to say, been dealing, helping some people in Kyrgyzstan. Some of the things I've been reading, especially in Quebec, since you know maybe mostly French, you have to learn how their laws are written. It's a little different there. But as I've been able to extract, even not even knowing the language, I can see some of the words. I can make my way through even there. They're all fairly much the same. So it requires you have to lay your foundation, and then you got to put together the protection. And the protection is the authorities did not do their duties or obligations, and then they applied general mitigation value measures that were not applicable to everyone that way. So same thing, same story that I've been taking each one of these stories now, and hopefully telling someone, some of you that may be interested, how to get your booze back, get your marijuana back if you're healthy. For me, it was, they were taking away alcohol that I would use if I was needing some to make herbal treatments for whatever I decide is good for me. That's up to me to decide. And like it would be for you. We really are all different in how we respond. In fact, I just ran across something that happened to me last week. I don't know what it was. I decided to go like I told you, hit it the worst case. I treated the worst case. 24 hours. It wasn't even 24 hours. Whatever it was, gone. And we're back onto whatever the heck we have to get done. I couldn't say that would work for anybody. But again, if you're paying attention, you do what you find what works for you. And these officials, these politics, these many-faced bloodsuckers, they don't have really the authority that they're wielding. And I don't know why more people aren't methodically attacking that, other than people don't want to do the really work. They just want to see if it'll just go away. The nightmare ends. But I don't think this one does, folks. And we hear this in the Australia, unvaxxed Aussies. It's just generically applied across the board, told that they won't be allowed to exercise or go to work if they're unvaxxed. The unvaxxed Aussies cannot exercise or go to work. Now, how is that even rational, in particular when they want to go to e-government? But not mine to pick apart so much. But we see that this is also in light of even now everybody is seeing the moronic variant, the anagram they designated as Omicron, is less deadly than the seasonal flu, which I have to tell you, public service announcement here, there is a flu out there that is really bad, and it's all being now recognized that way, like I've been telling you. Let's watch out. It looks like there's been something creeping up on societies for about 3 or 4 years. And so, caution, keep yourself as healthy as you can. Do what you can to avoid all this stuff. There's a real influenza out there, and it's causing some real trouble. And my problem has always been, COVID, PCR aside, when they didn't develop a test to find the infectious agent for what they claimed was there, and they covered everything up with that designation of the symptoms, they then left people vulnerable to something that may naturally be there, or a condition that they don't understand is there that they could protect against. Because there's a theory that says we get colds in the winter because that's the time our body starts to flush, gets rid of the toxins we built up most of the year, and that kind of thing. And so this is what happens, and sometimes we start to flush, and it's just too much on our immune system. We overreact. And so I don't want to get into all these theories. That's why you got to kind of look at yourself. Each one we look at each other, ourselves, and figure that out for us. But this is now being identified as being less deadly than the seasonal flu, but they really can't even identify that. If they did, they would have to agree it was a synthetic reaction to the chemical weapon, because Omicron is a variant of the original chemical weapon, which I have been trying to find rationale before. How could it work? I offered that it was a bee venom model, even though I also offered the caterpillar venom response. You look at the effects. And so this is a chemical weapon attack against us. It has nothing live in it, so nothing live is going to, if it was a vaccine they did make, I don't care what designation they made, what technology, it's not a live component that is a vaccine. And so we're dealing in a chemical weapons attack, and as I've said, we're probably going to be responding with a chemical solution, right, if we understand it that way. We won't be blindsided by thinking there's an organism out there, because it's really, I haven't seen it. Now, influenza, there's a couple of theories about how that works. That could have something. And so they're knowing now, they're actually mentioning to it, be careful on the seasonal influenza. But anyway, the unfact, healthy people can't exercise. How ludicrous is this that we continue to agree to that? Aussies, where are you? Aussies, where are you? Max Egan, where are you? I've talked about all this before. Like, I'd made a broadcast directed to Max. Where are he? Where are y'all? I mean, to my mind, you don't even have to get uppity about it. You just lay out the facts. It's just in mass. Each one of you, do your own. You can get together, work shoulder to shoulder, unmasked in your meetings to figure out what you need to lay out in the communicable disease. And then you each go into the officials and you tell them, where have you met the law? That you have any authority whatsoever? How have you not violated? And then you heap on them all the violations of the fundamental rights they were supposed to protect in you. That's what you start with. Okay? Better than just refusing, be a refusenik as they want to identify. You're not a refusenik if they're not telling you how they have demonstrated the non-fraudulent, where they've demonstrated the non-fraudulent exigency that's required when they declare an emergency. So, again, the healthy are being targeted. This has to be a plan. I'm not talking plandemic. I mean, there's a conscious effort to bring societies down. And they realized before that there will be some people that would resist the inducement. I told you the test was to see how many would buy in quickly, and they figured that out pretty fast. And then you watched the battlefield develop, the battle line develop, as more and more people were resistant. But remember, we were saying that it was the most uneducated that were resistant, and the most educated, so-called, that were done. And everybody in the middle, that middle class, was what gave in. And as I told you, as you read what that was about, the only distinction that made between someone who was intelligent and someone who was less educated or less intelligent, supposedly, was whether or not you changed your mind. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. And that still seems to be holding fairly true. Problem is, it's not just holding your mind or holding firm like a stubborn mule. You have to develop why you're able to say that. And one of the options I've offered is not just you be so knowledgeable about the thing, because they'll just put up their expert against you and you'll lose. is that they don't have the right to put their expert up because they haven't done the first step yet. Without doing any of that, every act they've done is fraud, it's crime. And then it's organized. And that's what I think our problem is, it's organized crime. It happens to also tie into a global agenda. We don't even know what more to say about that. Anybody who doesn't see that by now, I don't even know what to say. But we have questions even in the Aussies, and this is another dividing point, place where you can jump in. For those that ask the question, they actually can do a whole lot more than ask the question about the big question surrounding Djokovic's Australian Open medical exemption. Did you know that you could get a medical exemption in Australia? Well, here it is, if you didn't know. I said that they're there. I don't know their standards there, but here's a story that tells you that there is one. And the question is, why does he get one and the rest don't? Well, that's your question. It's not your question. It's how can you offer it to him at all? Because you don't have the jurisdiction to even condition his play. But here's the evidence that there's an exemption available in Australia. Where are you folks that aren't going in and at least trying that? And remember, at least in rule of law democracy places I know about, when you start an administrative hearing process, they have to finish it. And that doesn't end until you get the final outcome. And remember, within this process, you have habeas corpus. It's a collateral attack to this whole thing. And that's also listed. Again, we have lots of people asking, where's the form? The form is in the code. It's in the statute. Whether you find that in statutory code or whether you find that in a court rule, regarding what constitutes an adequate petition for habeas corpus. The habeas corpus is simply a writ commanding the one that's restraining, unlawfully restraining liberty or constructively so, to produce the body that they're doing so with and show cause how, well, they call it show cause now, it's not really show cause, but I'll say it that way, show cause how what they're doing is lawful. But not a burden on you. You just have to show the duties and obligations not met. Where is Australia to do this? Where's Max Egan? I don't even listen to Max Egan too much, so I don't even know what he's talking about now, but I haven't seen him making any news or anybody around him. I did read a little bit that they're still hunkered down. But he's got a bunch of followers that could follow what I'm saying pretty simply. And lots of people. It's not just a few. But this tennis player, whatever this, I don't even know what this was. There's a crack in the porcelain here. And don't ask the question like you want him to get the vax. Find out why you can't be like him and not get the vax. What did he do to cause that? And inside that, there's even some problems inside how they're doing that. There's a question. But they ought to have anyway. They ought to have given him that like anybody else. Why isn't that more easily spread? Why is it kind of the discussion cloistered? That shows you got a problem. Not you, it's an official, if you just understood that and believed it and pressed it. And so how do the Americans respond? As I was also saying, and I hoped that they would do, and they can, and I would ask them to rally up together and find themselves, those Americans that are quitting their jobs in record pace, given what the demands now are, however the judiciary wants to continue to allow them or question, and we'll see it's being questioned, but takes so... You know, justice is so slow. That's not true, but because law is immediate, so why is justice slow? But equity is in for 15 days. This stuff should have been over. It's but for that judiciary that's involved in promoting the agenda of the global takedown that we are watching these things drag on. But Americans quit their jobs in record pace. More than 4.5 million workers voluntarily walked away in November, leaving employers scrambling to fill empty slots amid a starved labor market. You have the power, folks. Why they walked away, I don't know. I've told you how they didn't have to walk away. But they did. That's okay. Let's go with it. You see the effect. You have, in mass, you have effect. And then you can make demands in a starved labor market. And then if you come back, as I've been saying, and you if you offer to the new employer looking for your help, this is the way the law really works. And you go to private contract, not go to labor contract, but go to private contract like a contractor with that. Based on that stipulation, you now have a different type of relationship and one that you walk in understanding, both parties understanding that there's actually no liabilities. You actually save the employer. It may take a little bit of education, but you've made a new relationship that you both are more responsible. And you're not, and you're eliminating some of the leashes that would be said to attach to you. Americans are quitting their jobs at a faster pace than ever, exacerbating staffing shortages for restaurants, hotels, and other businesses. How about hospitals, folks? We've seen those news, the news article. They're already struggling to fill empty slots amid fierce competition. We heard of this with a trucking shortage, so-called. I know there's a shipping problem there, but we were hearing that the people, local shippers, could not get enough drivers. I don't know why. You're on your truck all by yourself as a delivery driver. But do you see the ripple effect of the insanity, and it kind of goes overboard. But anyway, so to me, this is kind of interesting. Another method of countering, quit your job, do it correctly, go find some employers that are going to work with you, get into create associations that you work in private to supply these things that are being blocked out. And do your local private economies that way. Don't use insurance. Well, I guess that's, insurance is not absolutely out of it if they will engage in a write-offable indemnity thing. I don't know, but go back to cash, hand-to-hand. Don't rely on e-payments. Don't do it. Just go ahead and form up your societies with this power that Americans aren't putting up with it. They just quit. I hope them all real good. If they quit and they can keep going without it anymore, that's great. I don't know why they quit, but that's not up for me to decide. So, but to me, I'm just looking at this. Well, here, they have all this power. The Americans have all this power. Everybody whose economy is in a labor shortage has this power. Where are you for yourself? I've been talking about it for, going on almost 2 years now. Right? I mean, anybody listening knows that I have been. And so we also have, on the heels of this, the Americans are quitting their jobs, and they know that there's a nonsense going on. They're not going to put, even if they didn't know. I mean, I've talked to enough people that don't even know half, not even a drop of what I talked to you about behind the woodshed here. And they, the spirit of being free in them is very, so strong, they don't care. And that's fine too, but I know that the don't care and I'll just go do my own thing. Is not going to stop this oppression that's in the system and building steam and then coming to then take away everything incrementally. They start weeding out and getting people down to the last resistor, if you will. And they have all their names. You become the resistor in their circuit, and then they short you, they put too much current to you and you can't keep up. Better not to do that. So, well, we have a little bit of a pushback. What came out of this was very interesting. When we get to we might have some booster zombies, jab zombies already in places of decision. But Supreme Court initially seemed skeptical of Biden's vaccination mandates. The Supreme Court seemed skeptical of Biden administration's bold claim that his authority to impose vaccination mandates applying to more than 84 million private sector employees and to workers in federally funded healthcare facilities. And so we got a bunch of clues right there, and they said employees, what did I say just now? Don't be an employee, be a private contractor. Have a different relationship. Put your employer at ease, and by showing them the law and showing them how you haven't been a threat, they haven't developed the necessity, therefore there is no problem. If they get their mindset out of the lie and the fraud sheet. Get your fraud sheet off me, you damn 38. Now, federally funded health care facility, that brings up federal funds in the states and using them in federal law applies. In fact, I just put that in our petition. Then we're talking about it being the bribe relative to patrols in the forest, and that the Forest Service, so-called LEOs, are using that to get inside knowledge to continue to gain advantage and try to gain advantage to hurt us. Then this federal funding rule popped up. And so, it's integral with what I'm doing, in a totally different field. But the point about this comes down to, the Supreme Court's skeptical. I was surprised at the questions coming out of the Supreme Court. And then they are balancing why they're skeptical that the mandates would have the power, but no one really stepped up and did the very first thing that they could have as a Supreme Court justice in law that said, that asked the Biden administration, well, didn't the government... make the reservation in the international health plan, health policy, global health, international health plan, or whatever that's called, 2005, that the power for medical care and decisions is in the state. You don't hear that. Relative to federal workers, well, is it really limited to federal workers, or does the local communicable disease law of the state rule? Even over federal people. And part of that is now down to land. Was the land, if I'm going to kind of give them a space, was the land underneath the buildings upon the operators, that ceded to the federal government? How small is the federal government now when you look at it from the Constitution? That they've expanded all this other, the veneer of control, all through commerce as well. I know, these are just conversation I have when I look at these titles, but why the Supreme Court is only skeptical. But they are. And so, I don't know that this is even being argued correctly. When I see that they have these discussions in the Supreme Court, I realize something went amiss. No one's apparently pointed out that there's been a fraud at the law. No jurisdiction has declared by a non-fraudulent demonstration of the existence of an infectious agent upon which all this would work. So I don't know. You know, to me, it's a non-starter, but that the Supreme Court's entertaining it this way is a problem in my mind. But they are entertaining it, and they're skeptical. Okay, good. But then we hear this come out of this. Justice Sotomayor, I mean, almost I want to choke when I say the word justice when I say her name. It's almost like an oxymoron. Justice Sotomayor spreads delusional misinformation during SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, hearing on COVID vax mandate. Justice Sotomayor, during this oral argument, claimed COVID deaths are at all-time high, claimed Omicron was deadlier than Delta, claimed 100,000 children are hospitalized with COVID, said OASHA's regulatory authority is a federal police power. Well, define federal. Does that include all the land in the states that's not ceded to the federal government, wherever those operations are? But she just makes these claims, not supportable whatsoever. This is a Supreme Court justice not regarding any fact, just making it up, whole cloth. And then her rationale, supposedly. She also asks, quote, why is a human spewing a virus like not like a machine spewing sparks? She'll tell you what she thinks about you. Where did she come to the fact that they're spewing virus when there is no test, or the test is a fraud, or it's misplaced, or that she's dealing with a big system of fraud and bribe? Where not one jurisdiction that she's supposed to oversee in this capacity has ever determined that there was an infectious agent one. Where does she come up to make up a determination that she has no power to do unless she was some health official with the mandate and duty to receive a medical report? Where is this human animal spewing a virus? It's not determined across the nation, across the world yet. And so, there's people looking in this. I'm getting it from an article. You look at these people that are in the Supreme Court, and you see what they're doing, and you start to wonder what I was telling you. Because I got to the bottom line, you get to the bottom of the story, where the punchline of this is. Right before that, they also talk about Justice Kennedy or something. His statement was there were 750 million new COVID cases yesterday. 750 million new COVID cases yesterday. This is coming out of a Supreme Court Justice Breyer's mouth. And when I saw that one, I'm saying, are these fully vaccinated people? And we look at the very bottom line. The punchline to the joke here is, it's worth noting, as it says here in a Twitter, it's worth noting, a spokeswoman for the Supreme Court recently said all 9 justices are fully boosted. So I think we're looking at least 2 booster zombies. And they are in the seats of decision of making determinations that are determined law of the land in your life. As I told you, our problem would be, out of whole cloth making it up, having no critical thought to temper herself or himself, are making decisions. And we now cannot know. I can't tell you whether or not this is a response, conscious interference by the jab they've been receiving, because the pharmaceutical company test said that it would. Okay, so put two and two together, and two and two together, folks. This is how I've told you, like I said, you're seeing it unfold how you've been told. We're watching the results and the fruit. This condition that was suggested by China, picked up by pharmaceutical companies, and attacking, with the government's permission, attacking the people of the United States. The government itself now becoming incapacitated, it seems. Now, I'm interested that there's no the other justices, so-called, that were there. We don't hear much from them. Don't know how affected they may or may not be. Don't know how much ingrained their belief system is that they can look through the cloud that starts to form based on the microclots that are forming or the bleeding that's going on at the same time. We don't know. And this all becomes the problem. You know, if you want to be, oh, I want to believe my government and the people we're helping, and we're helping each other, and they don't want to talk about this stuff, then you've got a problem. You don't have a problem if you know it's there. You'll have a problem with those people that want to impose themselves that don't have the right to impose themselves. The damn dirty ape want to put their paws all over you, and your response is, should be, here's the objective basis where we're going to follow, and these first five steps haven't been done. Who are you? You're trespassing upon me. Get thee behind me. I've got a place to go. And if it's an official, you might have to get a little bit more engaged with that. But, so here we have Supreme Court justices making these outlandish, unsupportable claims. That doesn't surprise me. We see a lot of us all the time, but when you look at what they're talking about and how closely it's tied to this thing, it becomes a little bit more, to my mind, present the present danger that's right here and affecting going on right now. As we talk about maybe this is the zombie booster zombies, you make up all your names you want to try to shove them into a place to just. You can't dismiss the fact that they're there, but you can dismiss their force and effect. As long as you have something to back up, you're protecting yourself, that what has happened is happening against you is not compliant with any law. If law is anything anymore, and that's another question. I mean, is it? If it's not, well, the people were supposed to rise up. If it's not and the people don't rise up, these criminals, these organized criminals are taking advantage of that, and they will, and this is going to get a whole lot worse, a lot faster, a lot longer. I don't know how far away you can run. Like I said, I ran into the forest. I ran away. I just got, for years, I was 7 years, I was up in the mountains all by myself. And then after a few years, officials started showing up out in the middle of nowhere. And they started harassing me for no good reason. And it's not like they didn't dislike me. They thought I was a good guy. One of the sheriffs said, well, I didn't expect someone like you up here. Because what they're expecting is someone is doing illicit things. That's the condition of criminality they put on everybody in their mind. That's how they've been trained. But anyway, you can't go far enough. You will be sought out. And this is what now you're going to get people that are going to think at their cause. It's kind of like the Forest Service so-called law enforcement officer that continues to stalk and harass us and cause trouble for us. I wonder how much of this is affecting him. As well, although I think he's just a beady-eyed little punk. But, who am I? I'm just a guy behind a woodshed trying to follow what I've been granted to do and find there's trespassers to it everywhere and a system of government that protects those trespassers. It's just a fascinating thing. Not unusual to me to watch a justice state those statements, but when you see him connected to a potential medical problem and harm, that's not going to be diagnosed because it's being covered up. And they can't let it out because it would then put the rest of the guinea pigs on alert. But well, maybe not. I guess if you're that down, if you're that much of a zombie, again, maybe not. But this concept is coming back, as I was saying before. The zombie apocalypse is kind of like coming back through the news system. And we have here acknowledgement a bit about this. I don't do much to his website and information, but it's on point of this thing of what are we looking at in the Sotomayor, in the Breyer? What are they talking about? It's totally outlandish. What causes that? I mean, it is beyond just a slip of a thought about what they were saying and doing. There is a presumption placed in without facts to create something that doesn't exist, a human spewing virus. Forget the monkey, the animal that she's calling y'all, but spewing virus when there is no test. There is no identified isolate for an infectious agent that they claim. And that's not saying there might be something. We don't know because they didn't do it objectively. And none of us have forced a local health administrator to do so or condemn them and had them condemned for not doing so. But we have we are now witnessing the early signs of dreaded vaccine zombie apocalypse, raging mask Karens, personality changes, violent behavior, and animalistic lower brainstem lunacy is essentially in a title what I've been telling you we're going to have to be careful of as these people are boosted into oblivion, into the essentially fight or flight is likely where it's going to probably go. Why you just want to get, you want to move away. You don't let them get into a fight. You don't want the flight ones, you don't have to kind of worry about. It's the fight ones that you got to worry about. And that could be coming in a contentious Supreme Court justice who will spew herself this infectious venom in the Supreme Court. That's supposed to be mimicking law, I suppose. It's supposed to be law. But here in the title, we hear again the zombie apocalypse coming, raging masked Karens, personality changes, right? And what's interesting is an email that we're talking about bringing up the idea of snake oil. And I looked, I had a different thought in my mind relative to echinacea. And I can't, I haven't had a chance to go check it out, but I think snake oil, the literal snake oil, I think it was for altering the disposition of people that were ornery, you know, no good. That's what it's one of the uses was for. So we might have another method, as I was telling the emailer, we might have another component element to help protect us against what's coming down. I'm not paranoid and I'm not fearful. I'm just saying, okay, here's the evidence. Here's the effects that are going on. Do we ignore them? Or do we start to understand that it might be really, really, really real and in our face one day? What are we going to do about it? What are we going to, the emergency? What are we plan? How are we going to plan to deal with that emergency? And I'm asking us not to be so set ourselves up for our own takedown by not being prepared just by ignoring it. I look at these stories. You can talk about them. Adams, he's talking about Mike Adams. He's essentially put in a title and he's brought up all these things. What I've told you was coming. You can see it for yourself. It was right in line with Sotomayor. And it's just watching this thing roll out. And in one regard, I don't have any other explanation. So it's happening. So we better put some meaning on it. No different than what are you going to choose? A biological agent that infects you or a chemical weapon? Your life may depend on your choice. And so we look ahead and we look behind and then we look ahead and we start to put the facts together and say, well, this thing doesn't look like a biological agent. Maybe I better look at a chemical weapon neutralizer, whatever that is, and whatever that is for you. And if I choose wrong, I could literally die. And so this is an important thing at this point. This death, it's man-made death being put on, and harm being put on people. And in the face of it, we have the fighters, and I'm happy to hear. I was just talking about where's the military? Well, apparently, I don't get the news everywhere, but the week following, here's the answer a bit. Navy SEALs achieved stunning victory in America's fight against vaccine mandate. And so I was happy to hear the fighters of our country are fighting a bit. I'm not so sure that they did it absolutely correctly, but they did, in fact, the Navy SEALs taking the fight to America's leaders over the right to decide whether or not they must take the mRNA shots being marketed as COVID, quote, vaccines. The United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas today, don't mess with Texas, right? So you step up, good. They just issued a preliminary injunction stopping the Department of Defense from punishing military service members who have religious objections to the vaccine mandate. And can we have a big, oh, from the peanut gallery? Because that's not the right answer. I want good that they're fighting for the enforcement of the religious objection, but that is what? That has agreed, allowed, without the production of a non-fraudulent agency, that there's an infectious agent that you needed a religious exemption for. If you read the document, the affidavit the affidavits I formulated months and months and months ago that are in the links back. I may not put the link again just because I talk about it. You got to go find it. I don't know what to say about that. I can't keep up with this stuff. But people, I explained that whole point, and I followed it up with the Labor Department saying, no, these employers, even I told you, even the military is going to have to demonstrate a necessity. But the SEALs didn't fight that fight. The SEALs said, if I have a religious exemption, it ought to be recognized. Well, that's just admitting that there's an infectious agent that's never been proved. You're admitting that the fraud, you have to respond to fraud. And so, Ray for the fight, but not to the extent. And not far enough back in the beginning, at the beginning of the problem. And I can't imagine the whole of the military, 86% of the military getting shots without a clue, without a statement at all. Forget the religious exemption. Forget the medical exemption. Where was the demonstration of the non-fraudulent necessity for it? No one asked that. I don't get that. I can go to the law and I can see you're supposed to ask for it. If I didn't know, no one did that either. So, thank you for some of the military stepping up on the exemption, but you didn't go far enough. What battle are you fighting? You guys know better than I do how to fight a war. Why? You know special ops. Why didn't you plan for this better? Maybe tell me why what I'm saying is not a better plan to start with. At least the intel to begin a plan to reattack America's leaders. Are they attacking America's leaders? No, just the military. If they attacked America's leaders, each one of those military people in from their state would be writing a letter to their governor demanding non-fraudulent exigency or the necessity for them to be told anything. Anyway, so on and on, I'll just repeat myself. It's the same answer, and no one seems to be doing it. So I asked last week, where's the military? Here they are, and they fell short. They're attacking the leaders, which they're not. They are trying to defend themselves in a small little place, admitting that the enemy has the hold of the territory, but they have their little bitty enclave there, their little bitty hole they dug to protect them. It's not quite right either. A judge rejects another front, an attorney, and maybe I'll call him a lawyer. I haven't seen how it's gone wrong yet. Except it's not maybe the right lawsuit, except he did ask for discovery and got discovery to get the FDA to produce all the documentation relative to these licenses, so-called, they offered Pfizer. And this is the case where the FDA asked for 75 years delay, but the judge rejects the FDA's 75-year delay on producing vax data to cut the time to just 8 months. There is some 55,000 pages per month that they're going to have to disgorge from their holdings at this point so they can get that done. 55,000 pages a month. Fascinating. Amount of information, all used to hide, essentially, to attack you. And so we can read now, the attorney's doing well. I do appreciate his efforts. I'm not sure what the totality of that case is about. It must be a at-law case. And so they're looking for damages or something. It's not an equity case forcing a duty. But anyway. We will have discovery. We've already seen some of the documentation on its own. It's already kind of stunning to see what the harms are that they've allowed. Just in the initial paperwork. We talked about a few of that. I wish I could find the gentleman's name, this attorney's lawyer's name. It's not coming to me. So we get the judge's order on. We get to see what it looks like, how he's doing it. So the judge didn't go for the request that the FDA gets 75 years to produce data. No, that's not what it's about. I think if I remember right now this story, I think the judge came out and said, this is an open society. This really is. And you can't abuse the FOIA process that way. So the judge rationale was reasonable to produce 55,000 pages a month. So there's a lot to read there, isn't there? This is what I'm telling you about some of this stuff. We don't know. Prior advocates of pollution and stuff, they found the point there's thousands, millions of pages of data hidden. And it takes the standing and then the suit. You become an, you know, you become an advocate by getting involved with your FOIA, and you argue that they didn't have the right. There's rules around all that. There's also a way to set up a FOIA so that you can trap them. And that's what I had to do with the Forest Service before I did a lawsuit years and years ago. I did a FOIA, and they came back and said they had no documentation. And I said, well, you should have had in the record of this matter, the subject matter, you should have had at least the four letters I sent you. So I'm going to declare and assert that you have committed fraud, are committing fraud, you have more documents, and I'm going to come after you if you don't discard those. And it wasn't but about 3 weeks later I got a small stack of paperwork. But I set that up to make it work. I didn't have to go to court. There's all lots of ways to get at this. And they do try to hide. And I, after reading the documentation, I still think there was more, but we had enough information in that pile to understand what we were up against at the time. So this FOIA is very important. For those of you that want to get a better understanding of what's going on, there's information behind the scenes. The shame of it, in a way, is that we have to go through the federal agencies or the state agencies, and you can't go to the right directly to the companies. But it is an option. And so right here we see there's a little hearing that went on. The judge steps in and says it's unreasonable to go 75 years. FOIA means something. And we have to have a remedy, a timely remedy. That's another. I bet that was another. I didn't go read deep enough to see, but that's a timely remedy. So you have the ability and you have the responsibility to produce these documents and get this thing get this show on the road. And so congratulations to that lawyer. Now, moving into what also a judge, and I missed the last week, all this stuff in my mind, and I missed the punchline to one of the things I wanted to point out to you about another judge and what they can do, what they don't, you know, what they have the power to do. And I missed the punchline last week talking about Ghislaine Maxwell's case, that the judge in that case sealed the record. And they did it. They sealed the record, and that caught my attention because that's what I told you before, back in the beginning of the 2000s. I observed a judge doing that against a child services, against some mothers and fathers trying to get their daughter back against a child services abduction. And the court, I've noticed the court had protected the agency but sealing some information and causing it. What he actually did was he sealed it by making it not available, not admissible as well. So there was two things he did, and I knew that how he did it was a violation. That keyed me into the whole thing. Knowing procedures keyed me into a very serious problem that went right by the people, the mother and the father. I had to tell them later that there was something else going on, and that got me interested to look. But child services is an abduction, a condition, an abduction circuit. The runaways are the child services is like adult services. Adult service. It's the street corner. And the runaways are a lot of times the victims. But it's just a big cover. Anyway, we'll get to that side. This judge sealed the record again. And I ran across a blacklisted news article, and I went. It was a video, didn't have a story, and I went there, and it happens to be a comedian, JP, I think his name is, and he's actually given us more news, I think, than the news is, trying to and being humorous about it. But he points out, and I hadn't heard him before, but he points out everything we didn't learn. And he does it in a humorous way where he takes the position of the government and we tell you this and that and the other and we're doing good for you and all that. He does it in an interesting, he has an interesting presentation, but he's telling us what we didn't learn. And he does mention, this is what caught my mind, that I forgot the punchline, the judge in the Ghislaine Maxwell case sealed the record. So what didn't we learn, very important, is who Ghislaine Maxwell was doing that for. In other words, the decision of the court comes out now. She just did it. She just did this stuff. She had no other cause than to just do it. No one else was involved. And so I think JP does us a good service to point out, as he does, the things that you didn't hear. For me, it was the sealing of the record, and that's what you didn't hear. You didn't hear that they know who the players are. As I told you, when you see these rundowns of the mass of so-called pedophiles, you hear the low-hanging fruit come out that they collected up. I have never heard someone in government, CSD people, and I got evidence before I got collected up and my evidence got stolen from me, that CSD is involved in this stuff. The aid systems that are around CSD help. The judges help. The attorneys help. They're all, it's like a closed circuit of what appears to be child abuse. I say appears. It's there. And you never see these higher officials much ever in these roundups. This is the way it works. You're watching, whether you picked up on this or not. I didn't really watch the case too much, but I did hear that this judge sealed the record. I have to say, though, you know, she's an odd-looking bird as well. They all have this look. But at any rate, JP does a good job pointing out all what we didn't know. And the ultimate end is that apparently Ghislaine just did that stuff and there was no follow-through. She didn't do it for anybody else. No one else was involved. That door is closed to us. And so be aware of that. And then this comes out. Ann Coulter calls out Ghislaine Maxwell's juror as a plant working to set her free. And I told you last week they're working on an appeal. The jig may be up for all this. They may go through appeals. Who is in the pipeline of the compromised justices on this? They'll be working on making the judgment of the jury reversible. And then what does it come out a week later? That someone on the jury comes out to explain that they were biased. They try to, I wasn't unbiased until I came in. I was used to be abused, and I had to instruct the jury that it's the harm of the victim and all this other stuff. Well, that's certainly going to be a question to get the appeal done. And Coulter calls this juror out, who claims to be doing it for the families, to be a plant to get her set free. Certainly looks like it could be the case. And so this thing is not over. But what got to me about Ann Coulter, and again, I don't know these people. I really don't get in behind it all. But what caught my eye on all this horse story, it keeps on going, I told you a little bit about last week, just to touch base with it. She made a comment, I guess it's in a tweet. Yes, that makes sense. Everyone around Epstein was a huge, no, she says huge, I guess it is, huge, H-U-G-E. The H's are silent too? Anyway, huge Russia supporter. Everyone around Epstein was a huge Russia supporter. Dershowitz, Wexner, Maxwell, Barry Kushner, and Epstein himself. Just look at their philanthropies. It screams Russia. Do those names scream Russia to you, folks? Do I need to say really anymore? Who is Ann Coulter? Points out how it could be thrown off, and then tries to take these people and put them on as aides of a Russia that don't need their help. What are those names? What other? Does Russia come to your mind when you hear those names? Dershowitz, Wexner, Epstein, Kushner. And then I saw this story. Israel likely behind 1981 bombings of German Swiss engineering firms, expert claims. And boy, did it kind of straighten my mind up, because those names don't make me think of Russia. That's another propaganda star in Ann Coulter, highlighting something to cause it to be good, and then highlighting a fraud, a story that has nothing to do with anything, to throw you off of what? The real culprits in the direction. I got this story. Israel's primary internal intelligence agency, the Mossad, was likely behind a series of mysterious bombings in 1981, which targeted German and Swiss engineering firms believed to be to aiding the Pakistani nuclear program, according to new expose by a leading Swiss newspaper. Several bomb attacks targeted a number of engineering firms in Switzerland and what was then West Germany in 1981. Alongside these attacks, there were threatening telephone calls that targeted West German and Swiss engineers. We can goes and talks about the nuclear weapons of non-proliferation. And a whole lot of interesting, cool things happened likely in most of our lifetimes. Kind of just swept under. But here we have the Mossad involved, and we talked about last week. Who was Maxwell involved? Wexner involved? They're all talking about what? The intelligence group of Israel. This story comes out after a long time But when you get down to the facts and you get that information, you start putting together a different story. Was it Russia? Well, this story says it wasn't Russia. And in the news again, the hub of this whole thing, it's really just an advertisement for this little Zionista state that you're going to keep focusing, get the name, you know, any promotion's good promotion here. Flu Rona. Israel records its first case of patient with COVID and flu at the same time. Israel confirmed its first case of individual infected with both the seasonal flu and COVID-19 now at the same time, authorities said on Thursday. Authorities said they started at COVID, but COVID-19 is different. COVID-19 symptoms of flu are such, and COVID has been recognized as just the common cold. And that's essentially what she has. She has the common cold. It's a pregnant woman, no less. The common cold and the flu symptoms. What? How'd they test it, right? And I told you how the errors of the test, not just the errors, but that they can test in the proper flu, only two of them, though, and that the residual can be blamed on COVID, so-called, because they have an isolate. The default on those tests is it's a so-called COVID, only the symptoms, not the infectious agent. They say SARS-CoV-2, don't have an isolate. And so now we see, now they're making new ground in Israel. Let's focus our attention there, that we can have both. More fear. It's a totally lie. The test would tell me that if she has any kind of immune response, her baby, she's pregnant, her baby could cause that response. And since they don't really have an isolate, anything that's not flu in that flu test becomes COVID-19. Pretty simple, right? But the whole point about this story also comes down to, well, her symptoms are mild. Her symptoms are mild. Even though she has both. And they've given it a name. It's not only the medical name. Flu-Rona. Let's make it more funny. You know, let's make it more joke about this stuff. People die. Well, in this story, you see some people are dying. I noticed that they conveniently struck out whether or not they were fully vaccinated. But you can read here, all these diseases are the same disease. They get the same flu-like symptoms, and now there's somebody coming out to tell you that this technology can test for the distinction. And I told you exactly how that would work. If they are actually testing for what they have invented, called SARS-CoV-2, that's the chemical weapon. That's just a chemical test. Pretty simple. If they can test for influenza A and B as a biological organism, and they have the isolate for that, that's a simple test too. If the test is I can do A or B, they didn't say both. It's A or B. They didn't tell us which. And then anything else that throws a PCR, a red flag, which is going to be positive, because that's what that test is made for, will say they also have COVID. Because it's not the other two. Pretty simple. Pretty simple trick. And they have the whole world captured on this. And they now make up how many stupid names are you going to go by. But I thought that was kind of cute, Flu-Rona. We have a combination now. And it's, although it's mild symptoms, it's killing people. We need more control. While we hear, Pfizer partnered with China's vaccine passport platform admits being proud to stand with China leaders. Again, the pivot to China. I told you this when they were talking about like Obama military. I said, no, this is about the new environment to come on you, the new economic environment, the new technological environment, the new e-commerce type stuff, as I've been talking all this time. But Pfizer's proud to stand with that system. I don't know if I have to say any whole lot more. This is the type of people you're dealing with. I mean, I just don't know what to say that people even put up with this. And I'm watching that they are. The system coming, it's not China. China, they're implementing a new system that they're all coming into tow with. Across jurisdictions. But I told you that China was going to be the pivot was to there to start establishing this, that you see right away pharmaceutical companies embrace the Chinese Communist Party payment platform. Why not? You're going to go to e-health, right? Everything's going to be determined through that phone. I mean, it's on and on about this thing. I don't know what more to say. So, Do you think this corporation, transnational corporation, cares about your national sovereignty, if I can say that, your identity, can I say that, or is that too far right wing? The laws in your country, do you think it's too, you think they care about your laws in your country to keep you maybe different? And now, because I've been in the mineral mining law, the mineral law, I now see at least one little part, how the United States of America is different. And so that allows me an objective touchstone, if you will, to, I don't go too far from that one, and I apply the principles of that to lots of places, because it's all the same, actually. But here we have Pfizer coming out saying, we're proud to stand with Chinese leaders. To do what? They could care less about your way of life. And they could care less of the things they need to do what? Bring more profit to themselves. And as we move into this and the Pfizer, the pharma, and who's embracing it, governments are embracing this. Please do not forget. Please do not do the stupid statement that says that this is a China virus. Understand what really went on. A synthetic code was transmitted as the postulated cause of what they blamed on a wet market and bats. It was simply a code, a protein code, that was handed and said to be of doing something. The United States adopted that. Not one jurisdiction in the United States tested it. They just accepted it. And then the government went to town fabricating the man-made, novel, patented chemical weapon and turned it around and made it and turned it attack their own people by forcing it down everybody's on their throat and arms, whatever they're going to be doing, you know, with the pills and everything else. Okay, so China didn't do it, but you watch the underlying thing that's coming on through this this conduit. It's not a lie that Pfizer's embracing the Chinese standard, but when you look at what that is, it is what I've been telling you about, is that what we've been heard in even other places, that the technocratic future, the electronic surveillance system, the permission system, the you have nothing and be happy about it system. Totally eliminating whatever law you thought you had in your life to protect you. And in this case, I can see over 2 years, you've let it go away. You've let it go away. And so what they get to do, and when you see that they're chumming up to China they're not chumming up to the politics of China, chumming up to a payment system, right? Profit, yeah. And so that's all you really kind of need to know in a way, because that's what this whole thing works on. Even the COVID-19 money from the federal government, it's bribe money. It's all about that. But what do we find out about this electronic payment system? They got to keep track, and there's I don't quite know who's doing I think it's a scientist of some sort. We've done a report. I haven't been able to get too focused on qualifying much of this, but I find this information very fascinating. And if I can go ahead and give it, just believe it's truth, that I think it's Ricardo Delgado, maybe that's his name, in La Quinta Coloma, and he's running the Orwell City's website, if I got these names correct. He has gotten a sample of these things, and he's been doing some experiments. And the most recent one that I found, just came up and came through, was he let the vaccine evaporate, and as the vaccine evaporated, he was able to see structures and microscopic structures forming. And it's very interesting when you look at these structures. They, in fact, do look like a printed circuit board. So these are nano size. So, in fact, they aren't nano because you see them by the microscope, but he doesn't say it's an electron microscope. So these might be a little bit larger. But anyway, it's hard to look at these pictures and not see as the solutions evaporate, that they start to coalesce themselves into structure. They self-form. And what they self-form into, it looks like printed circuit boards with what you could see as a normal CPU, the registers to a CPU, the even capacitors and resistors that do all that. What I didn't notice was any traces of connection, which would be a whole other neat thing, and scientifically be great, kind of a neat thing to have done. But I can't see the line. The trace lines must be so small you just can't even see them connecting all these things up. But you do see the obvious correlation to electronic circuitry. which the this scientist adds says is a censoring system, which is built up in creating a mesh networking system, which has a communication ability. If you have a CPU, you have an intelligence of some sort, a way to handle data, and it's able then to. They have other circuitry that then is able to transmit, and then you have to have antennas. So if you look at those chips, that they're interesting. They're just interesting to see the shaping and stuff. You can see possibly in the imprint, and it's looking like maybe an aerogel substrate. It's hard to tell. I don't know. It's just pictures, and I don't know if they're fabricated, but there they are. They're there for us to see. They looks like it may very well have around the perimeter of this what looks to be a CPU, a fairly large, maybe double or triple loop antenna. Now, they're not going to go very far, but if there's a lot of them, then they can start creating a massive resonance that they can be sending data. Anyway, very interesting technology. It's what may be in these Pfizer vaccines, and this gentleman's been on this for quite a while. Taking worst-case scenario, I'm going to go ahead and agree this is true, because if I don't, and it's true, we're in trouble. To know that the stuff I've been talking about behind the woodshed here with all the studies I found, all the science I found in the past, telling you that it was there, telling you it looked to be put together, looks like it's being put together, this gentleman may be actually seeing it. And no joke, fascinating technology, just fantastic stuff, but terrorizing in its implication. That when you look at it and put Pfizer with China and their social credit system and the payment platform with these sensors, which can communicate what they have to communicate, whatever they're designed to do, and what they're communicating with, and what they identify as, it starts to bring on a whole. You talk about Orwell City. You start seeing this is the name of the website. It brings it on pretty good. What he also brings up was this idea of the MAC addresses. So that's going to be later on. I'll talk about that. These have an identity, and they can then be tracked that way. Again, no fear porn. Just say this is a guy who's looking. If he's right, we got some real fascinating technology going on that's real seriously scary. And I don't know about you, but I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't know what you might say, but anyway. We have an emailer sent me a video because in the video a researcher was studying what came interesting to her, and the letters ADAM, Adam, came up important, and with lots of focused in projects, Adam projects. I guess she has like 77 different projects and very interesting in all the scope of what they do. But within this context of the discussion, she talks about she found and saw what was coming down is that they would put rattlesnake venom into medicines. And so that was part of this discussion, this video. It's over 2 hours long. I kind of had to go through and I didn't have the time. I just focused on the rattlesnake venom assertions. You could do that through the transcript that YouTube offers. Great service, but we have it. RLM doesn't post to YouTube anymore, notwithstanding the tool that the transcript is that you can check through for words really quickly, and words around that to get a good view. But looking just through this video and searching for rattlesnake or venom or things like that, she's come onto the idea that this is a venom. She's found that it looks like it's in one family of proteins. I'm not so sure, and she admits that as well because there's a different type of component that she admits does not the clotting that the venom, rattlesnake venom does, but the bleeding. And so that got me. So again, you'll see the elements of someone else who believes this is a venom, a protein. This is synthetic chemical protein that's been created that conforms with what I was telling you before. My B model is really answering the problem of the transmission. Normally, a rattlesnake, you won't get contact poisoning from a rattlesnake bite. That's not how that works. So that's what the vaccines seem to do. So we found that from the clinical things with the male technicians and the women at home, and the susceptibility to the fertilization problem. This is in this video too. So Salome, quite a bit of study goes on, and I wanted to offer it to you that was offered to me. I want you to see that there's someone else that sees it could be a venom. I just want to point out, it is a venom. I'm not focused on one. I think they've designed this to do quite a number of things. The best model I found so far, transmission, is the bee venom transmission model, but the best venom, it looks like it may be that caterpillar, because this will go after your women's fertilization, her reproductive organs. It also causes clotting and bleeding. And that caterpillar did that same thing too. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that's where we start focusing our attention. There's another study, someone who did a lot of study apparently finds the same, comes to the same conclusion. However imperfect or untrained we are, you can see and discern these things. So thank you to the emailer. You just see it, folks. I don't know what to say. Just more information. As you see more information, things come to you. That's all I can tell you. It becomes less foreign what's going on. Also, together, and maybe I jumped out of order just a little bit, but this thing about the Pfizer vaccines, the microtechnology built into it, there's an Odyssey video. I can't get it on my browsers. I don't know what's going on. Anything with Mozilla that I have does not see the website very well anymore. I have to literally get to Chromium. Vivaldi I use. I don't like Chromium at all. I don't like that I have to go to Google to get plugins to stop Google. But anyway, so far I've got that I run before I can see it, but my browsers are mostly Mozilla's or spin-offs of some sort. I can't see Odyssey, but this is a video you get to see relative to the microscope looking at the different stages of the virus vaccine. Make of it what you will. This study also, now getting back to Dr. Pablo Campra, this on Orwell City, we get back to a different thing that he did before that I did talk about in the graphene oxide, where we bring it forward. He was saying this is where we started getting the ludicrous numbers of 99% graphene oxide. And I said, no, that can't happen. But it's still a component. And I showed you, you go into the study and you see where graphene oxide is a component or could be. Now, it acts as a substrate or as a metal oxide substrate, that's electronics, or a substrate to hang different types of molecules on and such. So there's a good reason for its use. We also found that it can be very deadly. And yet I also showed you some studies that showed it is beneficial. So again, everything in its proper use, hydrochloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, that's a toxin. But if you need it and you use the tool correctly, well, okay, then that's the tool used correctly. Don't misuse it. Don't abuse it. Same thing with any of this stuff. So I don't necessarily throw it all and paint it in the bad way, but you really do have to be aware. And when they're not telling you, then it's hard to be that. But here, Dr. Pablo Campra, I found another article on the Orwell City site, special program on the technical report on the detection of graphene oxide in COVID vaccines, as explained by Dr. Pablo Campra. I don't want to touch it more than to say it reminded me to touch on this, because I found another report, and I can't remember if it was from an email or it might have been. Thank you again for your contributions here and there for this stuff. And it's interesting how it plugs in through the week that I find things that are interesting. Getting to that magnetic anomaly, which I think was mostly a parlor trick, but because of the self-assimilation, and we talked about the attaching to the iron in the blood and all these other things that goes on, you can't dismiss the fact that there's some magnetism and or self-assembly going on, and or because there might be some electrical currents of some sort that they possibly could make magnetism. Well, this little story here was very, all this stuff, material science, the condensed material science studies are fascinating to me. Like I said, long time ago, I was very, very good at chemistry. I probably thought I was going to go there, but that wasn't supported by the system, and I guess that wasn't important when I got out of school after a while. But anyway, I was able to do I had some very interesting insights that were fascinating to me as a young one trying to learn about all this stuff. And so seeing this stuff is fascinating. As I was telling you, when I was getting in through high school, I thought I was interested in bioluminescence, and I went to task learning How does an animal create light? Cold light, no less. No energy, apparently. And so that's one of the projects I actually demonstrated to myself in a chemistry lab without much training, just going on, if you will, the instinct, which you're listening to the voices that you have. Hopefully they're not nuts, but I was able to do some pretty interesting things. So this is very interesting to me relative to graphene. And when you understand buckyballs and all this other stuff, it's very, very cool. When you understand what they're talking about here, you extrapolate it maybe even to the sun. And we see this little story here. Rare magnetism found in the world's strongest material. The strange things happen when you stack and twist graphene. Remember, graphene is a carbon hexagon grid, one single atom layer thick that stacks itself. It's kind of real similar to how shale graphite stacks itself. These different layers, now you put them together, and a magnetic field that generates within them, and by their twisting, is rare and unusual. And I don't talk more than just I introduce you to this little concept. It makes a lot of sense when you're looking at the constituent parts of what were said. It looks like there are in vaccines that they could be causing, notwithstanding the iron the affiliation that it has to iron in the blood, the fact that when they come into a grid structure, the sheet structure, which could be formed in a hydrogel as well, they create magnetic fields, and they're anomalous. And so I thought about that also was, now if you consider condensed matter science, and when you look at the sun, it's not gas, as I repeatedly say, and I have to shout out to Dr. Robitaille, who's been pounding this one as well. He's the real guy, that figured this all out that you can read his papers. To me, it never made sense. Chemically, it never made sense. Not that I was ever trained beyond my interest, but condensed matter seems a lot better. Then I ran into graphene, and then I ran into that it can be shaped. And now we see this anomalous and rare magnetic field. And then you consider, if the sun is actually condensed matter, the first element, hydrogen, and it does exactly what graphene does in its construction. Can you understand maybe there's a mechanism you're watching for the stacking, if you will, of condensed hydrogen in graphene, if you will, sheets, and their contortion and forming and pressure causing these magnetic fields of which you see magnetic fields generated on the sun to cause a lot of the kind of effects that we have. When I saw this, didn't seem to be too unusual now, that we could still now develop another element of what the sun might actually really be to get a better understanding of the place that we find ourselves in. But hey, fascinating stuff. I can go on and on about all this stuff, and it's all stuff I really don't know. It's all the stuff that's just fascinating to watch, and having a little bit of touch here and there and interest, it just kind of gets my mind going. I wish I was doing this more than about anything else that I have found myself been doing in the last 20 years. And that's kind of a shame, but again, we're in a bad way. So I've decided to change my focus. And so we have that fascinating stuff, but then it's used for apparently bad purpose, these magnetic fields. Remember, if you have iron moving across magnetic fields, especially anomalous ones, or that these fields are drawing in materials and they start causing, I don't want to get so wild to say the electron type speed movements, but they can start going through these fields pretty fast. You start to see that they also start forming and causing energy and motion. They start other things going on. So you see the technocrats come in and they use all this for their ends. And this is the main problem for us. And how do you know? But along the lines of the credit, social credit, and where the world's going, and we hear the so-called reset, and you will have no property and like it, and you're going to live in austerity, and no meat's not going to be very good for you. And I told you years ago when they started to hit the promotion of the bugs, we're going to see it more and more and more. Another story beyond meat. Technocrats replace meat with mealworms for the peasants. I think this section of the blogcaster might be called the Peasant Meat Mealworms. If you've been paying attention, I hope you have been, you might have noticed a corporate state media blitzkrieg pushing meat alternatives for the past year or so, at least. So you've been hearing me talk about it for a long time. So the author here, Ben Bartiz, finally come on to it here just a couple days ago. technocratic elite have decided that not to feel the useless eaters, as they perceive you, slop troughs with meat any longer. Allegedly, your own health, and of course, for the environment. If any of the endless propaganda to shoot up the entire population with the dangerous and ineffective experimental mRNA gene therapy technology to fight the virus with a 99% survival rate, you still believe any Western government cares about its citizens' health, God help you. So that's the introduction to this. This is another and he's just showing you that the system is promoting now mealworms. It's also flies and bugs and, maggots. Okay? That's what's coming. I've been talking to you about this. Someone else is writing about it. I don't know what kind of world you think you're walking into that these people are bringing on us. And I don't know. I've been looking. I noticed a couple ads. Periodically, I get an ad and I look through them just to see what they're doing. And I found that they now put meatless foods right in the middle of the ad. And I used to work in a grocery store, and I know about how they kind of do this as well. And the promotions. I was in a print house, so I knew we had to lay out these ads certain ways. And you watch all the cues are going on to promote certain things in these ads, and they put this meatless foods right in the middle. And I'm shocked at how expensive they actually are. Even if they were trying to nudge them in, you think they'd give them a little bit? No, they're going for the jugular on this. Not only are they getting you used to higher prices, they're promoting that that's all you're going to be able to get. And so the press is on, even in the ads you already see, that you will be eating mealworms and maggots and all this other stuff and crickets, folks. Crickets. Be the cricket. Go ahead and keep being the cricket. Well, I haven't used that for a long, long time, except for the sound every time I walk into the broadcast. And so the technocrats is kind of a theme here, what they're doing, why Pfizer Pharma would go to China and look at their economy, their e-platform, their profit payment system, and then we know everything starts to get attached to that system. But what about that internet? What about the access? And then Ice Age Farmer again. I think I'm beginning to appreciate Ice Age Farmer. Was it Chris? Christian? He's coming up. Yeah, I think he sees it now. I mean, there was questions I had before, but he seems to be really on point. He's identifying stuff and bringing it to people. Well, this now video has 100. He's got 110,000 people listening to him, so great. This story now comes up. The UN taking down private websites, domain-level censorship. And so now, he'll explain. It's only 11 minutes long. He does a good job here to put it together, show you that now the international authorities, so we saw that with the ICANN problem, if the international authorities get it, they can start shutting down domains. They are now shutting down domains. They're moving past what we can do, what you can do. You can't go isolate yourself. Your domain gets shut down. And so he's saying the UN's doing it. Apparently there's a UN counterterrorism executive directorate that's involved with this thing already isolating out and shutting down domains. And so for those of us that think that we have a place on the internet, at least in the domains, the main domains, the top level domains, you're going to have to start changing your attitude. Why I've been looking for more federated, non-centralized, peer-to-peer type technology. I still quite haven't found that quite right. And I'm by myself trying to figure it out. It's taken a lot longer than I would have thought, and my mind's not into it too much more anymore with all the pressures that are coming down. And so we have the writing's on the wall. This has been predicted. They are controlling the internet. They're going to control your access through your domain name, which is just a string of numbers, like another MAC address. It's just another identity. They identify where you are. If they can identify where you are and identify you, then they can take you out. And so like I've been saying, the Matrix is not a movie. The Centurion's going to be out there. You're going to have to be able to cover yourself. And I still think there's a possibility. There's a whole lot of addresses in the internet, the dark web, so-called, that we can bounce around all the tunnels down in there for communication systems. I wouldn't rely too much on it more than that, trying to keep information going. Because I can just, again, they shut down the information. That's the first thing an enemy does. Is you've seen it week to week here. I bring up at least a story where they go after the communication systems immediately. And that's, you just, anybody in the military knows that. So, not a surprise. But here, Ice Age Farmer tells us about what's coming down. It's the control of the internet is being controlled external, even though DARPA is likely underneath that and actually in control of that. And we see a little bit of this control. where WhatsApp, Signal, and Telegram are banned by the Swiss Army. Now, this came a little bit personal in a way because I was asked to get on Telegram. And I did some research so that if anybody's listening, I did do the research, but I quickly came to the determination it's not what it's all cracked up to be. It's like Discord and all this other stuff. It's really not ideal at all. Well, apparently the Swiss Army doesn't consider that either, but they turn a little bit more of a twist, and we see more of what the military is trying to do here. What Switzerland's military has deemed the use of WhatsApp and several other messengers incompatible with security requirements. So if you're a security conscious, this is probably not where you want to go. And I have been, and even more so. And I wish I could say more about what we're facing here about this problem that I've been writing our petition on. They are using all those techniques to try and get more intelligence. And if they don't have it, they have trouble. And my understood, I want to, I've been telling, based here and there, telling you certain things to be aware of. And this is a real thing, too. You want to be security conscious. The best you can. I don't know about getting everyone, everything, but I don't know. People are maybe more intelligent than I am on these certain things. Some people can figure puzzles out better than I can, that's for sure. And that, if I'm part of that, if I'm the puzzle they're figuring out, I don't know what I'm subject to. But certainly WhatsApp, Signal, and Telegram have been found by the Swiss military, someone who has to defend the national security, is saying don't use those programs and use a domestic messenger instead. And that's the other hook. They want to make the FEMA, which I looked at as well a couple years ago, they have their own problem. Almost all of these people do, and so you, in a way, if you're going to use them, you take that in consideration. For me, on some things that I do, it's just too much liability for lots of levels. But they say go to FEMA, which is a Switzerland-based company. Why? Because it's subject to Swiss law. Now, they claim it's also because of that new European standard that supposedly protects the general data protection regulation, protects privacy. But my thought is that since it's subject to Switzerland law and it's the military, they have got access, direct access to their military people. I guess, okay, what am I going to say about that? The point is that the Swiss military has said anything else is off limits because it's a security risk and subject to enemy attack. And so those of you that consider what I say, and what I do, and why I'm not so wishing to jump into certain things, let's take heed with this one because it's telling us quite a few points about what we really have to be contemplative about and work toward. And so I don't have the answers for all this. I've been looking, but it's not shown up quite yet. I see glimpses, but it's still not quite right. But moving on, and can you get the situation where they identify they can shut down the internet. Well, they now are moving now in this country, the United States of America. They now have come against your cars. In a few years, new law will install kill switches in all new cars. I don't know if I want to say too much more. You can read the story. They talk about they're going to stop drunk drivers and criminals, and we all go, Ray, we're going to stop the bad guy. But I want you to consider what you've seen in the last few months. And your e-life, your e-government life, that I told you about the cars, if you're going to get an Uber, they drag you, or you take your car that's under control in AI, and they drive you when they want to drive you to the court or the jail, they just go ahead and do that. In this case, they haven't quite got that far. This kill switch, when you don't have the right social credit, can shut your car down, can it? And the problem they're talking about is a safety issue on top of it. Where is it going to kill your car? And so let's not get to the safety issue that if they're going to kill your car anywhere under what? Whatever the cop makes up. They can already shoot you in the street. Why don't they just run you off a ditch or something, right? Well, who cares? But what about if you have your car in your driveway and they decide to engage the kill switch because you didn't eat your breakfast quite right, right enough in the right amount. You didn't eat enough mealworms. You didn't eat those maggots fast enough. And they just pull the plug. Oh, you don't have the right social credit. That's where this is going. And is it going there before 2030? You bet it is. Let's not underestimate what's going on and how fast it's happening. New law allows non-citizens to vote in the U.S. if you're not understanding how they're internationalizing the nation state and making it irrelevant. If Pfizer going to China didn't do it, this is going to do the body politic that way, notwithstanding our understanding, at least in Behind the Woodshed and the RLM Network type of listener, would say, who cares? I mean, that's a corruption as well. And I do agree with that to the national level. Right now, we do see you get enough organization locally, you can actually use that to your benefit. Nobody does, and so we suffer there too. But now, a law, new law allows non-citizens to vote in the U.S. And they say, unless a judge blocks the bill in New York, we'll be the first U.S. city to enfranchise non-citizens. This also opens up a whole other thing I don't have time to talk about right now. But at any rate, they're giving the right to vote to people that are not known to be part of your society. And you see the influx of a lot of the people that are coming in, and we know that ends up going typically from socialist countries or that type of communist country. They typically vote politically Democrat, which is the insane group right now. Not that the Republicans aren't in it just as insane, just listen to Rand Paul all the time, but this is more direct and hurting you. In other words, the law that came down from Washington applies to cars. They're going to put a kill switch in your car, so when your social credit isn't enough, they're going to just turn off your car. You don't get to go. You're going to be walking. Maybe you're going to force you to use that bike they've been trying to get you to do. And all this stuff is doing the Internet of Things and these microtechnologies, the nanotechnologies, now nano things in your vaccines, apparently. And back to Orwell City, again, is the MAC address marking system, the mark of the beast. Many questions have arisen since the confirmation of the marking system linked to the MAC addresses detected in COVID-19 inoculates via Bluetooth. Now, Bluetooth is a whole other thing. Those are private mesh networks being created by all these companies. They privately communicate amongst each other, but they do it with these MAC addresses. The most frequently asked is whether this system corresponds to what's described in the Bible as the mark of the beast. Well, I'll just answer that real quickly, folks. Obviously, it's not the mark of the beast. It has to be the MAC of the beast. I hope people think about what's coming down and what's going on. If even half of what we're seeing is true, this is going into that new terroristic future. And I don't see many people complaining about it. Whether you're going to suffer the MAC of the beast or the mark of the beast, or are you going to get behind the woodshed and put your mark on the beast? You do it. Don't wait around. It's all really there. I tell you, I point out to you how it's right there for us to do. And this future world is already upon us. It's already, the infrastructure is there. As I told you, it's already there. They're just implementing it now. The time is really very short there. Whether this is the end times mark of the beast, I can see that it can get a whole lot worse. It's stated to get a whole lot worse than even what we're seeing now. But this is, to me, has already been bad enough. I mean, it's again, the insane. You're being dealt with by insane people, being driven insane. And you can't stop, you can't really stop that. You can just appeal to, if there's an appealable being left, that's all you get to do. Otherwise, you're going to have to make some distance and figure out, again, they're going to track you down. The runaway is not really the escape either. Maybe a temporary thing, you want to keep moving and all that mobile. However, at some point, like I found out for myself, they end up locating you. And so you better have a little bit more. And I'm asking us to gear up really right now while we have a chance. And I appreciate you tuned in. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Thanks for opening. open up a can of whoop-ass to you, Zach.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.